Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 45% off selected products. 45% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three road teams, all in game sevens, all with the mentality of fighter pilots who are heading right into a danger zone and doing it full throttle. Wow, what a Sunday of game seven history. We had both defending champions in hoops and hockey on the line. The difference, of course, being that the Warriors were on the road in Sacramento where they had just won game number five, but have only won a dozen road games all season long. The Colorado Avalanche were home, taking on an expansion franchise, playing as just his first ever postseason series with a championship banner newly hung in the rafters. And then the Florida Panthers, the lowest of the low seeds, barely made it into the Stanley Cup playoff bracket, taking on the best team in NHL history. Think about it. Three teams, all hitting the road, hostile environments, and man, I'm telling you what, the atmosphere in Boston for Bruins games, especially playoff games, it's one of the loudest, most raucous, most electric I've ever seen in person or been part of. The Garden was rocking. So was Sacramento. Man, the Kings fans did themselves proud this year in reviving the franchise hopes as the Kings become relevant again, ending a long playoff drought. Those fans showed up. And their enthusiasm never waned. The energy carried the team through so much of not just the regular season, but through this playoff series. Light the Beam went viral because of those fans. And then, of course, the Avalanche fans. Yes, obviously. A lot to cheer for when you are the reigning champions and when you're trying to propel your team forward. A team that's experienced a lot of postseason success in recent years, hoping to go back-to-back. So all three teams, Panthers, Kraken, Warriors, it's just them, their locker rooms, maybe a handful of fans that get drowned out in the noise of the home energy and the home excitement. And yet, what do we get? History. I'm a history buff. Generally, that refers to U.S. history or world history. Definitely military history. I can read about it. I can watch documentaries. Can revel in it. But sports history gives me that same thrill. I love being a witness to history. So as we usher in May, baby, a trio of Game 7s offering us unforgettable moments and history for three road teams coming from very different perspectives, right? Very different platforms. And yet, results the same in stunning fashion.
Back behind the net. Matthew Tkachuk gets there first, and he's upended back behind the goal. Loose puck behind the net. Loose at the side of the net. Jamming away is Tkachuk with Bennett along the near boards. Bennett finds it to the circle. Verhaeghe shot. Top shelf. He scores! Carter Verhaeghe top shelf, and the Panthers win it in overtime. The Panthers stun the Bruins in Boston, and the Panthers are moving on to round two. Carter Verhaeghe, the Panthers have won it in overtime. 4-3 the final. The Panthers take game seven, and they're moving on.
McKinnon still looks for options, looks up top, knocked away by Bjorkstrand. He'll chase it at the red line and dive to poke it away. 10 seconds left here in game seven. This is Rodriguez in to the far side. Lehkonen in behind the net. 6 seconds to go. All the way back to the near side. McKinnon hit off the puck, thrown out in front. There's the horn. A team that defied the haters. They rolled their eyes at the naysayers, and now they have defeated the defending Stanley Cup champions in seven games. The next wave is crashing into the next round. The Seattle Kraken are heading to the Western Conference semis.
On Murray takes a quick three. It's up and good! Curry knocked it down! He's got 43. Draymond gets the inbounds back to Curry, takes a three, and hits it with the buzzer sounding. Are you kidding me? Curry will bring it up. Curry drives, scores. He's got 50. A 50-point playoff game for Stephen Curry in a game seven.
Amazing history all around, and for the road teams. No one has ever scored 50 points in a game seven in the NBA before yesterday. But it's the Warriors, and it's Steph Curry, and it's that experience and that mentality, that mental toughness that's built over time and over championships. I started saying this last year, and I truly believe it. The Warriors are impervious to pressure. There is no amount of pressure that can rattle this team. Now, I'm not telling you they're going to play great all the time. We know that this team plays on the edge, and there are times when they commit stupid mistakes and bad turnovers. They have been so lackadaisical and unfocused and undisciplined on defense on the road all year that they literally got out of the regular season with only 11 road wins. 11 out of 41 possible games. They won 11 on the road. Is that championship caliber? Heck no. And they knew it. They knew it was on them. However, they have an edge over every other team they will face because of their championship heart and mettle, and because they have been in these situations before time and time and time again. Do you know this was the 100th playoff win for the Warriors in the last decade? 100 playoff wins in a decade. There's no shortcut to that kind of experience.
It was well deserved.
Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala in street clothes, but he's like a coach on the bench. Andrew Wiggins, even Gary Payton, though he didn't play a ton of minutes. Jordan Poole got benched early because he gets a little fast and loose with the basketball and with his shots. Kevon Looney was the key to this series against the Kings. Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. We'll get the reaction as we get through this hour. The Seattle Kraken win their first ever playoff series, and they do it at the home of the defending Stanley Cup champions. First time ever that an expansion team has been able to take out a defending champ in a playoff series, in a first round playoff series. And Seattle has only had 4 wins in its entire playoff history. Not that they don't have anyone who's been there, done that. We were talking about Philip Grubauer earlier, 33 saves in their game seven. He's obviously familiar with the ice and the Avalanche and everything that goes into that, because he spent, 3 seasons there with the Avs before he was moving on to Seattle, before he moved on to Seattle. And so with the drafts, the way they're set up, the expansion drafts and the way that teams can pick, it's not as though you're starting fresh with a bunch of newbies. But still, as a franchise, as a group, they have to learn how to win together. And this will go a long way. And that brings me to the Panthers in Boston. This one, the unlikeliest of them all. Not just because the Bruins won 65 games and amassed 135 points, both records for a regular season. Yes, there's that. But because this team also has so much championship experience, they understand the regular season is only a precursor. It's only preparation. Now, over and over, I've explored this idea. This is over the course of my career, of a team that has to fight and scratch and claw and has to be in playoff mode, has to maintain a sense of urgency, cannot let its guard down for even one game. Because of the hole they put themselves in the regular season, the Panthers had to do that. They nearly missed the playoffs. Our guest made this point earlier, George Richards from Florida Hockey News. You can grab that conversation on our podcast. It was a great dissection of this series win for the Panthers, but also the arc that the Panthers have been on this last year. Remember, they were the President's Trophy winners a year ago and were swept out in the second round by the Tampa Bay Lightning. But getting back to the Bruins are not a team that plays for the regular season, right? They're a team that plays for Stanley Cups. That's the perspective. They've earned that in Boston. Really, all of the teams up there have earned that. There are higher expectations. But when you've got such a significant lead and what you're chasing is history, not a playoff spot, there's a different sense of urgency. No one was going to think poorly of the Bruins if they didn't set the record for most wins in a season. No, they'd already defied logic. They'd already gone ahead and blew expectations out of the water with how they played all season. Regardless of whether or not they set the records, they were going to be the overwhelming favorite. Again, not just because of what they did in the regular season, but because of who they are and who they have on their roster. The Panthers, complete opposite situation. Yeah, they've been around for a while, since the mid-90s, but they wasted a lot of years. They've only recently become a team that you would expect to see in the playoffs. Last year, beating the Capitals in the opening round was history for them. Right? So there's not a franchise that can hold a candle to the Bruins in terms of history. But there's also this element of, hey, we put ourselves in the position because we refused to give up. We refused to go away. And we just kept believing in ourselves. And we just kept taking the next chance and the next chance and the next chance. So they make the postseason. And as George said on our interview, our conversation, if the Pittsburgh Penguins play a little bit better down the stretch, the Panthers don't even make it in. That's how unlikely and improbable. And then they're down 3-1 facing Game 5 in Boston. And then they're down 3-2 in their own building. But still, another elimination game. Do you know the Bruins hadn't lost 3 games in a row all season? Which is what the Panthers were facing, as well as thousands and thousands of crazed fans at the Garden. A Bruins team that hadn't lost 3 games in a row all year. But in order for them to survive, they would have to hand Boston its first 3-game losing skid. And they cough up a 2-goal lead. Uh-huh. The Bruins come roaring back. They take a 3-2 lead over Florida 4 minutes into the third period. And come on, if you're watching this game, aren't you thinking, well, that was fun while it lasted for the Panthers? There's no way. You gave up a 2-goal lead. That was your shot. You blew it. Except when it comes to hockey, the nature of the game, because there's so few points, quote unquote, scored, kind of likening it to the NBA, there's so few goals that are put in net, even relatively now. Well, momentum is so fleeting on the ice. Under a minute to go. Just listen. Listen, under a minute to go.
Matthew Tkachuk over to Verhaeghe, far boards. Barkov at the line. Barkov long shot, didn't get through. Montour shot. He scores! Brandon Montour let it rip from the near circle. That may have been deflected on the way. The Panthers have tied the game at three with 59.3 seconds to go.
My gosh.
Brandon Montour let it rip. This game is tied, and you could hear a pin drop in TD Garden. My goodness, the Panthers have tied this game with under a minute to go.
The contrast is stark. Fans losing their minds, a minute away from celebrating their Bruins surviving this game seven. Now, it wouldn't have been comfortable. There would have been a lot of relief as part of that emotional outpouring. But as fans, when you propel your team to a game seven win, you feel like you're a part of it. Instead, they end up in overtime. And as Doug Plagan says on the Panthers Radio Network, it goes from being so loud you can't hear yourself think to deathly quiet, as in funeral quiet. Then they get into overtime, and we're going to actually let you hear the Bruins call, because once again, it is astounding to me how dead quiet it gets in the Garden, and the fact that on the ice, you can hear the Panthers celebrating. And these announcers are not sitting right off the glass. They're not just off the ice. Nah, they're in the stands a lot of times. In fact, if it's still the way it was when I used to cover Bruins hockey, they're up in the halo. They're up in the roof, which is the best place to see hockey. You really understand the speed and the power of the game when you're watching it from above. So if that's the case, think about it. How quiet it is that you can actually hear the Panthers on the ice celebrating an unlikely, improbable, damn near impossible Game 7 win.
They joust for it back of the Bruins net. Carlo trying to find it. Can't. Right circle, Verhaeghe. Shoots, he scores! Carter Verhaeghe in the right circle. Able to sneak it inside the near post. The Florida Panthers victorious in overtime. 4-3 over the Boston Bruins. And they will move on to the second round. And for the Boston Bruins, after a record-breaking regular season in the National Hockey League, their playoffs come to a close and a crashing halt here in the first round, and 7 weeks short of the only goal that mattered to them.
Oh. Judd Sirott, what a flair for the dramatic. I do appreciate his calls. And actually, after seeing the result and watching the game, I went back and I found the Bruins overtime on SiriusXM on demand so that I could listen to it from the beginning of OT through the goal. And yes, there were multiple opportunities. There were. Ultimately, in sudden death, I mean, everything's dangerous in sudden death. And it's just about surviving and continuing to put the puck on the net. But this is stunning. Brandon Montour, he's the one that had that goal off a rebound in the final seconds of the third period. Do the guys in the locker room even realize how monumental this is?
You know, I think guys actually haven't even thought of it, to be honest. I heard a couple guys, just, you know, it's kind of speechless right now. But, you know, like I said, they have a heck of a, you know, group there. Kudos to them on their season. And, you know, we just move on to the next and, you know, enjoy this one and, you know, get the Toronto.
I was proud to be associated with them, if that makes sense. That was my sense. I'm watching these guys fight and scratch and claw. And I'm not hanging over the bench screaming at them or telling them what to do. Mm. You know, everybody's got a job here. Basically, at the end of the day, I open the door and close the door on the lines, right? Who's going? Other than that, it's proud to be associated with them.
Mm. Paul Maurice, a new head coach, well, new to the Panthers this season. He was one of the changes that the Panthers made after losing to the Lightning in the semifinals not quite a year ago. It's not even been a full calendar year. I have a post on our Facebook page that tries to de-emphasize how massive this upset. Of course. It's not that big of a deal. I'm assuming that's a Bruins fan attempting to justify. My goodness, it felt like a big deal to me. Felt like a big deal to the Panthers, to their fan base, to our guest. Again, you want to get that conversation on our podcast. It also felt like a huge deal to Patrice Bergeron, who may have just played his last game in Boston. He was the last man on the ice. And he considered retirement a year ago, decided to return. At 37 years old, though, will he play another year with the Bruins? Get this. He's the longest tenured athlete in Boston now. Think about the turnover with the Patriots that we've seen recently. The turnover with the Red Sox. And a number of big names that have departed or retired. The Celtics, same thing. Patrice Bergeron is the longest tenured athlete in Boston. He's beloved. He's been part of some incredible teams. Really sets the standard. And so he was the last man on the ice, communicating with the fans, waving to the fans, thanking the fans. But man, this one stings.
It hurts, you know. It's what it is. You know, you compete hard and you battle all year for that, so it's hard.
We obviously expected much different results this year and the series, and you know, unfortunately that didn't happen. This one's going to hurt for a long time. It's tough, you know. We were hoping to make a good long run here all together, and you know, it's tough for everybody.
Matthew Tkachuk said we were 2 minutes away from being in a very sad mood right now, but Montour pulled us through. We live to fight another day. That's the Panthers. They don't get too far ahead of themselves. But really, they had nothing to lose. You just stay in the fight. You stay in the fight, and you have a chance. Brad Marchand, that was him, talking about the goals that they had for this season. And I came across a quote from him going back to March. It's not about the regular season. If you win the President's Trophy but you don't win the Cup, nobody cares. That's what we know on this team. Man, a game 7 to remember in Boston, in Colorado, Denver, in Sacramento. What a day. That's why I love working Sunday nights. Love it. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. We're going to get to your answers before the top of the hour, I promise. Most improbable, unbelievable upsets in sports history, regardless of where they come from. I love the wide array.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
We have responses we've received to this point. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. It's after, happy May. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
In the corner, working back with it. Nice place to the open corner, and Tavares arrives. Tavares works back towards the blue line, headed to himself off the boards. Back into the corner for Nyes. Nyes back in the net for Tavares. Tavares coming out. Sends it in a goal. They score! They score! Holy Mackinac, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Mackinac!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure you could ask for much more from an opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And congratulations to the Maple Leafs. They finally advanced to the second round. Long time coming for Maple Leafs fans. And also for John Tavares, who is a local guy. He actually was a huge Leafs fan when he was growing up. And so now he plays for the team. Remember, got there a few years ago. Really amazing for him to be part of this busting through the glass ceiling.
It's obviously special being a Maple Leaf and getting the opportunity to play for the club. Obviously growing up, in the GTA, obviously you get a sense of the history and the tradition and what it means to the city and to the people and, you know, how big and how incredible Leafs Nation is. So, really fortunate, obviously, to be here competing for the club and obviously, some of the disappointments we've had and how much support we've had over the years and the belief in the club from our fan base and just a hell of a job by the guys of just staying with it and not being denied.
He scores 4.5 minutes into overtime. What a moment for John Tavares. And the call there on the Maple Leafs radio network. First playoff series win since 2004. Wow. Nearly 20 years. But you can imagine for Maple Leafs fans, it feels like a whole lot longer. And to come against the Lightning is significant. It ends Tampa Bay's run to three straight conference finals. Actually, three straight Stanley Cup finals. So three straight conference championships. Remember, they were the winners in 20 and 21. Awesome. Toronto versus Florida in the second round. So the Panthers, the veterans on their roster, they actually packed to go from Boston to Toronto. Just in case. It's going to be a longer road trip than many anticipated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, well, we're talking hockey, and we're here at the bottom. We'll get to the Warriors and Steph Curry's fitty after the update. But we got to finish out our hockey with a first ever for the Seattle Kraken.
McKinnon still looks for options, looks up top, knocked away by Bjorkstrand. He'll chase it at the red line and dive to poke it away. 10 seconds left here in game 7. This is Rodriguez in to the far side. Lekkinen in behind the net. 6 seconds to go. All the way back to the near side. McKinnon hit off the puck, thrown out in front. There's the horn. A team that defied the haters. They rolled their eyes at the naysayers, and now they have defeated the defending Stanley Cup champions in 7 games. The next wave is crashing into the next round. The Seattle Kraken are heading to the Western Conference semis.
Incredible. Means a lot to the organization. I think even when you look at like the regular season games, it was really tight. They played unbelievable. We played unbelievable against them. So I don't think anybody on our side thought like they're going to sweep us here in 4 games. So obviously we grew together throughout that series, and we had lots to learn in certain games, but that was unbelievable performance by everybody, and it's not going to get easier from here on out.
I think it's huge for us, for the team and our confidence as a group, bouncing back from last year. And then obviously for the city of Seattle, you feel the excitement there and how much they want to back us up.
I love that for the city of Seattle. That's what Oliver Bjorkstrand says. He had a pair of goals. Philip Grubauer, Gruby, as they were yelling about him in the postgame locker room, 33 saves. And remember, he brings playoff experience. He brings that veteran presence in goal. He was with the Avalanche before joining Seattle. The call there with Everett Fitzhugh on the Kraken radio network. Enormous. And think about what they're facing in the Stanley Cup champions, but also the banners that are hanging, the star power on the Colorado roster. Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, la la la. I could go on and on. We know what they're about. Now, they weren't as good this year as they were last year, but still, it is tough to dethrone a champion. And Seattle is coming from a space where they're a startup, where they're an expansion franchise. And I'm so happy for Seattle sports fans, not only to the Mariners and their playoff drought, their brand new team, the Kraken, earned their first ever playoff series win. And when you think about what they've suffered through not having a whole lot of playoff excitement, but also losing their basketball team years ago. Rooting for you, Seattle.
Seals rise. Let's get it.
I know you've got a Super Bowl in there, a couple Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win, and a whole lot of incredible young talent courtesy of the Denver Broncos now. Still, this was pretty sweet for Seattle. Kraken, the Panthers, and then the Warriors, the three road teams facing tough challenges in game sevens on Sunday. And man, we got the trifecta. We hit the trifecta, peeps. Before the top of the hour, a few of your reminders. Most unbelievable, improbable playoff upsets in sports history.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Curry cuts down the lane, bounce pass, Draymond, left hand layup, good for Draymond Green. The Warriors lead by 9. Curry with a dribble at midcourt. Runs over, gets doubled, pass over to Clay. Clay, a deep three, right side, good, and a foul! Curry now with 7 boards, second leading rebounder for the Warriors. Curry, dribble drive, goes all the way in, floats it high off the glass, it's up and good. 95-81, Warriors lead by 14, their biggest lead of the night right now. 97-83, Curry holding his pivot foot, dribbles on Murray, takes a quick three, it's up and good! Curry knocked it down! He's got 43. Draymond gets the inbounds back to Curry, takes a three, and hits it with the buzzer sounding. Are you kidding me? Curry will bring it up. Curry drives, scores. He's got 50. A 50-point playoff game for Stephen Curry in a game 7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right, two things you need to know about Game 7. Yes, Steph Curry scores more points, a cool 50, in a Game 7 than any other player in NBA history. No one has ever scored 50 in a Game 7 until yesterday. Tim Roy with the call on the Warriors radio network. But a couple other things to note about Steph. He took 38 shots. He's never taken that many in any game, playoff or regular season. And he had more points in the paint in a single game than he's ever had before. Did you notice that every single time he went down the lane, he was able to get up a quality shot? And most of the time he was able to score. He is the smallest guy on the court. And yet when he gets in the lane, he's nearly unstoppable. Doesn't matter how many kings are in there. He weaves. He twists, he turns, he fires the ball up off the glass at these otherworldly angles, the finger rolls. And of course, you have to respect the three, which means you can't be bodying up on him. Of course, that's illegal in the NBA these days anyway. But you can't be face guarding him. And so you have to give him space. And then he gets by you with that space and leaves you scrambling. But it really is the handles. It's the handles. It's the fact that he's constantly in motion without the ball. He's a slippery little sucker to keep track of on the court. Every single time he went to the free throw line, he had this gigantic grin on his face, even though he missed 3 free throws, I think. It was weird.
It's a tough shot.
Between he and Clay, I don't think I've ever seen 5 free throws missed in one game. He just has a ball out there. And so he's smiling like he's the only one in the room who knows the joke. So he has 50, 22 in the paint, 30 in the second half. He hit 7 triples, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. The man was everywhere. But he wasn't alone. The defense of Klay Thompson, the defense of Draymond Green, the rebounding of Kevon Looney. These numbers, Jay, blow me away. Kevon with his 3rd game in this series against the Kings, in which he had at least 20 rebounds. And he had 21 yesterday, including 10 alone in the 3rd quarter when they were making their run. Stop it. I told this story earlier, but if you weren't listening to Warriors Radio, this will be new to you. Tom Tolbert, former NBA player himself, he made a joke that as the Warriors were missing all their free throws in the third quarter, that it was actually better for them. They should do it on purpose so Kevon Looney could get the rebound. Because it seemed like nobody else could get a rebound in the third quarter. 23 rebounds for the team in the third quarter alone, including 13 offensive rebounds. And Kevon Looney was in the center of all of it. So as you can imagine, you're Steve Kerr. You're pretty thrilled to see two of your veterans come through.
I think the first two things that come to mind are Steph Curry having 50 points in a game seven. Never been done before. Incredible. And Kevon Looney just keeps doing it every game. 21 boards tonight, 10 offensive. I thought he controlled much of the game with his offensive boards. I think Looney is one of the best centers in the league. I really do. And people don't recognize it because he's not dunking and shooting threes and all that stuff. But this guy is a flat-out winner, and he's a machine. And
a machine.
We wouldn't be here without him.
He's doing all the hard work, pushing and shoving, and getting hit with elbows and different things like that. Just all for that moment to be able to, you know, get expectation for your team and see them, you know, make a shot and change the momentum. And it's just a great feeling, and I know it helps us win. So I live for those moments. I like doing it, and it's a lot of fun for me.
Kevon Looney, man, what a critical piece of this series win in Sacramento, where the Warriors just won games 5 and 7 on the road. Have they potentially turned a corner in their road play? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Cute question for Steph Curry following the game.
Who can stop Steph Curry?
Hopefully we'll never find out.
When you have an off night yourself or the team, no one really shot it particularly well except for Steph. And there's a reason he's a two-time MVP, a finals MVP, is because he pushes us over the top in moments like this. And when he's in the zone like that, you try to just get him in his spots, get him the ball, get out the way. And gosh, what an incredible performance. This is a game seven I'll forever remember as the Steph Curry game. And he's just a joy to watch and play with. I mean, I really, truly enjoyed just, like I said, sharing the backcourt with him.
So now it's Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, LeBron James, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green. I mean, we've seen these guys go at it before, different uniforms for LeBron, but there's a lot of familiarity there. So it's Steph Curry and the Warriors, LeBron and the Lakers coming up in the semifinals.
It's amazing because you're still in the fight. It's better than the alternative of, you know, on the outside looking in and, you know, having been down 0-2 in this series, like, nothing's guaranteed. You don't take anything for granted. And it is special to know, you know, from the first series we played him in Cleveland 14-15 season to now. You know, we're blessed to be playing at this level still and excited about a new chapter. Two teams trying to, you know, keep your season alive and chase the championship, and that's what it's all about.
Should be a lot of fun, considering that the Lakers got into the semifinals by trouncing the Grizzlies by 40 over the weekend. Stop it. My goodness.
I don't care. He's old.
I don't. Yeah, I know you don't care now. I don't want to ignore what the Kings accomplished this year, ending a lengthy playoff drought. In the first year with Mike Brown as their head coach, they are building a foundation as well. And boy, was De'Aaron Fox a lot of fun to watch. Only 16 in this game seven. Really, the Kings didn't have a whole lot of offense in the second half. And that's something they're going to learn. When things are going horribly wrong and your team is surging, how do you stop that run? Their lack of experience, their impatience, those all came back. But yeah, De'Aaron Fox is looking at this as a positive.
This is definitely a building block. Obviously, being able to play a team like this, who, you know, we all have tremendous respect for, who've been there, done that. This is definitely just something that you build on. Playing against this team in the first round was a blessing and a curse. You know, you could learn a lot. You know, you're not the favorite to win. You know, we fought every game, but they did what champions do.
Yeah, great season by the Kings. There is more in store. But now the Warriors have home court advantage against the Lakers, which is also a positive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you on our social about the most improbable, unbelievable upsets in sports history. Kevin on Twitter says in the 90s, the Nuggets upset the Supersonics in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs and shocked the world. Joe, among the myriad of fans who are responding with Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson, only one book held odds on the fight, and one writer, Tim May in Columbus, picked him to win. Let's see. Some of you are going before my time, like Lee points to Mazeroski's walk-off home run for the Pirates, Game 7 of the 1960 World Series against the Yankees. Let's see. Bo says Alabama versus Auburn in 2010, the run back. That was phenomenal. I can still remember exactly where I was when I was watching that. Michael goes with 1983 NC State over Houston. That's Fi Slam and Jamma. Yes, Curtis and many others saying the Miracle on Ice, 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey. A lot of people pointing to the Giants over the Patriots in their first Super Bowl that spoiled the Pats' perfect season. And then Nolan says 0-4 Pistons beat the Lakers in the final. Pretty sure the Pistons weren't favored in game one of that series. Oh, and then Alec, among those of you who are mentioning the Golden Retrievers, okay, just the Retrievers, of UMBC, the 16 seed over a 1 seed Virginia for the first time in March Madness history. So that's just on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get to some more of your responses on Facebook. Good stuff. But I want to mention an iconic voice that we lost this weekend.
He's set, and the first one to a Big Mac.
Swing, and it's get up, baby, get up, get up, get up. Home run. Again, 70 home runs. Take a ride on that for history. How can you end a season better than Big Mac has just done? Unbelievable.
Wow, listen to the crowd behind him, but the voice unmistakable for anyone who listens to baseball play-by-play or is a St. Louis sports fan. I was so sad to hear that longtime Cardinals broadcaster and World Series champion Mike Shannon passed away on Saturday night. No cause of death given, but at 83 years old, boy, did he cram a lot of life into his time here on Earth. 50 years in the broadcast booth going back to 1972. This was before I was born. He was already in the broadcast booth. He had a 9-year playing career with his hometown team. How about that? He got to play with Stan Musial. So he got to stay home. He got to play with a legend, with a Hall of Famer. He got to win a World Series and then got to do what he loved and spend 50 years with a team. And that voice along with John Rooney, so many afternoons and nights, a soundtrack of summer since I so enjoyed listening to them. So thinking of him and his family and the Cardinals today. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.